Romans chapter 15, verse 1. But we ought, we that are strong, to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbour with a view to what is good, to edification. For the Christ also did not please himself. According as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee have fallen upon me. In the second epistle to Corinthians, chapter 5, and verse 14, for the love of the Christ constrains us. Having judged this, that one died for all, when all have died, and he died for all. For they who live should no longer live to themselves, but to him who has died for them and has been raised. Let's have a simple impression as to the attractive Christian feature of selflessness. I suppose it would be, as we've been hearing, one of the features of someone in the kingdom coming under the authority of the Lord, owning his rights over them. Just thinking of Paul in writing to Timothy and speaking of the days that we're now living in, speaking of the last days, he says that men shall be lovers of self. And that's the character of the world around us today. Man is occupied with himself and his own aggrandizement and everything to minister to his pleasure. And that list in Timothy there follows up, men should be lovers of self, with a whole list of things that are all those things that would be result from being occupied with self and pleasing oneself. And the Christian then is to be completely the opposite, wholly different to the current of the scene through which we're passing. And so we have here in Romans, he says, for the Christ also did not please himself. As always, we have the perfect example in the Lord Jesus. I think it would be right to say if anybody, if any man had a right to please himself, surely it would be the Lord Jesus. And yet he was here as a man wholly under the control, under the command of his Father. And not once does the Lord Jesus please himself. He was here wholly under the direction of his Father. Lovely to think of that. And so we have here, I think, the example. It's always good to see the example. It tells us that we have him for an example, that we should follow in his footsteps. It says, for the Christ also did not please himself. I think in the Authorized it said, for even the Christ did not please himself, as if to say that if Jesus didn't please himself, then what right have we to do so? He says, we, so he begins the section, we ought, we that are strong, to bear the infirmities of the weak. Interesting, that word ought comes into Scripture, comes in 1 John 3:16. We ought to love, having had love shown, we ought to love the brethren. So I think on the line of Christian obligation, you know. It's not exactly command, although I suppose that would come into it, but it's an obligation that comes upon the Christian. We ought. And then he says, we that are strong. And I don't think that's a get-out clause for us. I don't think we can say, well, we're not strong. We can't take this ground. I think it's a challenge to us that we should be strong and to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. He goes on, let each one of us please his neighbour with a view to what is good. Interesting, isn't it? In Luke 10, the Lord Jesus speaks of the neighbour in response to that question from the lawyer. He brings in that beautiful parable of the Good Samaritan, pointing out to him who his neighbour is. It says, let each one of us please his neighbour. And he says, who was his neighbour? You know, his neighbour was the one that needed him. And you know, I guess that's a challenge to us, isn't it? There are those that are in need. Are we so occupied with ourselves that we haven't time, we haven't the compassion, the care to look after those that are weak? Mm-hmm. It's a test to us. This is a feature, you know, of a Christian, mm-hmm. is that he's selfless, prepared to give ourselves for the blessing of others. Mm-hmm. It says, with a view to what is good, to edification. You know, I love Paul in 2 Corinthians, he says that he would be less loved. He would spend and be utterly spent for their souls, for their good. Mm. And what an example he was, you know, how he followed in the steps of his master. Mm. He was prepared to give himself wholly for the benefit of the saints in Corinth. Mm. Test to us then, how much are we prepared, you know, to go down this path of selflessness? Mm. The sacrificial, I suppose, you know, that runs right through Scripture, doesn't it? Mm. It's the basis of Christianity, the sacrifice of Jesus. Mm. And you know, it's a test to us. Are we prepared to take this ground, to give up those things that we like to be occupied with for ourselves, for the blessing of others, for our neighbour, with a view to what is good, to edification? The Christ also did not please himself. Mm. Well, if we see the example there, I think we see the motivation in 2 Corinthians 5. It says, for the love of the Christ constrained us. Isn't that wonderful to think of that? You know, the love of the Christ constrained us. If we need any motivation to take this pathway of selflessness, it is that the love of Jesus would cause it to be so with us. Hymn writer says, 'twas mighty love's constraining power that made thee, blessed Saviour, die. Yeah. The love of the Christ constrains us. Think of this word constraint. I suppose it's those things that would, it's, it would kind of measure our pathway and guide us in the way that we would go and what we would do. It's the love of Christ. That should be what is the motivating power for us in our pathway here. The Lord Jesus was the one who was absolutely unselfish. He gave himself. He gave everything in the giving of himself. And so the challenge to us is that we should be marked by this same feature. One died for all, then all have died. He died for all. But they who live, if we're those that live, we've been saved by the precious work of Jesus, then we shouldn't be living for ourselves. Like those that we see all around us in the world that Paul is speaking of, we shouldn't be seeking our own things, but the things of Jesus Christ. So we should know that they who live should no longer live to themselves, but to him who has died for them and has been raised. Lovely motivation for the Christian, you know, is the love of Jesus. I think that would govern, if that governs our lives, you know, I think everything would fall into its right place. And I don't think we would have to think about not being selfish. I think those features would come naturally to us if we were really marked and really really absorbed with the love of the Lord Jesus, the one who has given everything in the giving of himself. May we be helped along these lines, that our occupation may be with him, so that we may be encouraged in our pathway and strengthened, and here is a true testimony for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.